Good morning and all part of the live streaming experience as we adjust. So one of the blessings for me this morning is simply the presence of being here. There's something about it, and I can't put my finger on it, but there's just something about being able to gather once again, and that is so important. So for those who are joining online, welcome. Whatever, if it's morning, afternoon, or evening, and hopefully it's not the middle of the night. But welcome. We're going to continue with our, we're not continuing. We completed our Hebrews series that we did last week, but this is sort of like an addendum. Because the writer in Hebrews, near the end, they addressed a few specific issues for those recipients of the letter. And so rather than looking at that, there's one specific issue I'd like to address myself that I feel is pertinent for the church at this time. When I say the church, I'm just talking about the global church, whatever flavor it looks like. It's whatever church. So I want to start with a Jewish parable, and you've probably heard it, but it goes something like this: a man died, went to heaven, and was met by God, and they began talking, and the man brought up the subject of heaven and hell, and God said, "Well, you know what? Let me show you hell first." So he took him down the hallway to a door, opened the door, and inside the room was this very long table, and around the table were people all around there. And what was most notable, where in front of every person was a bowl of food in front of each person, but they were all emaciated and starving and miserable, and there was just this tension that was in the room. And well, the other thing the man noticed was that they had these long-handled spoons, and I was puzzling. Goes, what's going on here? What's this all about? And God says, well, you know what? Let me show you heaven. So out they go, down the hall further to heaven's door, open the door, and inside that door, long table, people all around this table, bowls full of food in front of each person, and each person is holding a long-handled spoon. But they're well-nourished, and they're laughing and enjoying each other's company and having a great time. Just fantastic. And the man was puzzled. And he turned to God, and he said, don't get it. What's going on? We don't understand. And God replied, they have learned to feed each other. That's the difference. It's a simple parable. Very simple parable that makes the point that as I care for you, I in turn will be cared for. It's a truth that is there, although it's very difficult for us to grasp at times. But today we're not going to talk about food. Rather, we're going to talk about the words that we serve up to one another. That's what I want to address this morning. Because we communicate, and we communicate in so many different ways: written, type, text, post. You can communicate actually in pictures and in your body language. How you hold your body when you're with someone can speak volumes. And there's even that saying that a picture is worth a thousand words, right? Anyway, we all know the saying as well, and I'm sure you know this one. I do from when I was a kid. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Wrong. It's so not true. It's so not true, but we say it, right? We do say it. And it could be a great comeback, but in fact, what we do know is that words have great power. Words can heal, bring healing. They can wound, right? They can bring peace. They can cause a war. Words can love, and words can hate. They're powerful. And in the parable, the people in hell, what's noticeable is that the people in hell had the same food as the people in heaven. In fact, everything was identical, except for how they saw the other and how they saw themselves. That's what was different. That's the thing that was different, because how we see the other determines how we respond to the other. It all goes together. How we see the other is how we respond to the other. And in some weird way, in that parable, you could almost say we create our own heaven and hell. Almost, you could say that, right? I want you to use your imagination right now and picture in your mind, if you're in your mind's eye, if you could see this bowl in front of you, but it's full of words that bring life, that give life. It's life-filling words. And it's phrases such as, I love you. Phrases such as, you're special. You belong. I see great things in you. You know what? You make this world a better place. Those words, regardless of how they're conveyed, are words that every human being longs to hear. And how do I know that? Because I long to hear them as well. It's something that is in our nature. Take the phrase, happy birthday. We say it a lot. We celebrate birthdays a lot. But when people say happy birthday, you know what they're saying at times? They're saying things like, the day you were born is a good day. They're saying that's what happy birthday says. It says the fact that you're in this world makes this world a better place. They're saying things like, the fact that you're a part of my life makes my life special. That's what happy birthday says. It's powerful words, and it's words we need to hear. That's why we enjoy celebrating birthdays, because it's something that brings life. The imaginary bowl in front of you is filled with life-giving words. And the basic truth of that Jewish parable can also be applied to words. That as I nourish you, so too am I nourished. That's hard for us to grasp at times, to really think that in order to have words of life given to me, by giving, I'll receive. But it's so true. It's so there. If only we could learn that, right? The pandemic has actually revealed the power of words. One of the first things I noticed within the first month of when all the restrictions came in, it was hard, right, is different houses' lawns had these signs thanking frontline workers. Even some of the signs were saying, the sun will come up tomorrow. It's going to get better, right? And just these words of encouragement. You saw them in storefronts. You saw them on billboards. And even in social media, all this. And then one of the things, and we sang it today, and thank you so much for playing that, Chris, the Lord bless you. When I saw that, the link was sent to me, it was in about three, four weeks into the restrictions. And it was the UK, the Churches of the United Kingdom, that were singing it. And it was such a blessing to hear that. And just to sit there and let that sort of like wash over you. There was something about it. It was just this filling up my heart that was so thirsty, you could say, in a sense. But as time wore on, we also saw the flip side, right? The power that words have to harm, to disparage others, to mock others, to cause tension, right? Publicly shaming others, we saw it in the news media, saw it amongst world leaders, right? Some of their conversations, some of the stuff on social media. And speaking of social media, particularly that, what was out there, the words that were being tossed around. And what was probably most unsettling for me, and I don't know about for others, but the fact that I saw followers of Jesus joining in on that. And that, for me, made absolutely no sense, no sense at all. It puzzled me because everything that I read about Jesus, the man that the Gospels record, everything I read about him, the way he spoke and treated all people was with honor, was with dignity. There was kindness, compassion, love for other people. And I always find myself attracted to Jesus. Always find myself, when I pray, Lord, just speak to me, because I know your words are going to build me up, are going to fill me up, right? And it puzzles me when I read some of that, when I read some of the stuff on social media, and I'm not a big social media person at all, not in any stretch of the imagination. In John 13, Jesus says these words to his disciples, and it's to us. And it's a commandment he gives us. Oops, I guess I don't have it in there. In John 13, Jesus says, I'm giving you a new commandment. Love each other. That's what it says. Those words exactly. And the beauty of those words is you don't have to get a Greek lexicon out to see what the Greek word is, to figure out what's the actual meaning. You don't have to understand the historical context even. It's regardless of the language, it's very easy to understand the command from Jesus. And we're his followers. I'm his followers. And there's a command we have that he calls us to, right? And here's the thing. Jesus calls us, calls me to live my life from that commandment, right? And I wonder, have we forgotten things? Have we forgotten that the good news is really good news, right? It really is. It's a message of God who loves the world so much that he gave us Jesus. He gave to the world, he gave Jesus to us. To reveal God's desire for us, desire to rescue people from the very things we're walking through right now with pain and hurt and the wounding that goes on in the world and all that, all the sludge in life, right? To rescue us from that. It's good news, and that good news is birthed in love. Let's not forget these other things, too. In Romans 8, Paul tells us that there is absolutely nothing in this world, nothing that can separate us from God's love. Paul's message in Romans is one of his key phrases, sentences he uses. And to the Corinthians, Paul actually says in 1 Corinthians 13, and we know it, Paul says, you can have all the spiritual gifts in the world. And you could be the most amazing person in the world. But if you don't have love, if you don't love one another, it means nothing. That's what Paul says. First two or three verses of 1 Corinthians 13. Paul also says to the Ephesians, may you have the power. His one prayer, of all the prayers he could pray for the Ephesians, he prays this, may you have all the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is for you. It's Paul's prayer for the Ephesians, right? Peter, most important of all, continue to show deep love for each other. Why? Because love covers over a multitude of sins. It doesn't expose, it covers over a multitude of sins. That's Peter's message in his little letter. James comes straight out, but in the third chapter there, James says, speaking about the tongue, that sometimes it praises our Lord and Father, and sometimes it curses those who have been made in the image of God. And so blessing and cursing come pouring out of the same mouth. Surely, my brothers and sisters, this is not right. That's what James says. James, like, what's going on, right? That's James' question. Let's not forget John and his little wee letters that he writes. That if we don't love people we can see, how can we love God whom we cannot see? And then I don't want to forget little Jude, one chapter. Bless his heart. But you, dear friends, must build each other up with your most holy faith. That's what he says in verse 20. You can't build people up with words that tear them down. Can't do that. Doesn't work. Doesn't work. Oops. Should be a blank slide. So literally, every one of the New Testament writers, everyone emphasizes the importance of serving up words that nourish one another. It's clear. Like it's laced throughout the entire New Testament. Doesn't matter whether you're speaking, whether you're writing, texting, posting, blogging, Morse code, you name it, whatever. You're communicating somehow. We, because we're followers of Jesus, and we serve up words that bring life. That's what attracted us to Jesus in the first place, because it was we saw something there that Jesus had of words of love of God. We discovered God's love. We stumbled upon it. Someone told us about that. This God that loves us. We are attracted to that. Here's the thing, and I've said this before, but everyone knows that it's love that will heal this world, that God's love will heal this world. Everyone knows that. But it's so hard to get there, though. So hard to do it. You know what? Here's the thing. Even animals know it. If you have a dog, you know your dog knows the difference between your tone of voice or a gesture that means love or means harm. Dog will back away if it's harmful, if it's going to be harmed. But it knows love. And it'll snuggle right up to you, right? That's a dog for you. They know it. Animals know it. You just got to watch, look at creation. Creation knows love. Creation knows it. And this world is starving for love. That's the thing. And we have the words of life to feed to others. We do. We have it. There. We just got to serve one another with that. We are called to that. Because this world, as I said, it's starving. It's starving. And remember, Jesus, after he had resurrected, but he hadn't ascended, and he had his disciples gathered around, and John captures this in his gospel. But Jesus said to them, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. And then he said these words, as the Father has sent me, so I'm sending you. As Jesus, so us. As Jesus was sent into this world, so to us. So to us. Because see, I really believe in the bottom of my heart that the church is the answer to this world. That it has the message. That if we're not only God's hands and feet, we're his mouth as well. We're his mouth. We can bring powerful words, powerful hope to this world. I want to leave you with two things. The first thing I wanted to figure out was there must be social media etiquette that's out there, right? There must be, somebody must have written about it. And I Googled it, and many things come up, of course, when you Google it, right? There's thousands of hits or whatever. But I just wanted something simple that I could remember. And there was this one site that just, it was simple. And that's what I need. I need simple. And they use the acronym THINK. And you see it up there on the screen. You'll see it on your slide. Is it true? H, is it helpful? I, is it inspiring? N, is it necessary? And K, is it kind? And I can remember that, right? That's easy. I can remember that. When I read that, I thought of when I was a kid, just a small boy, hearing my mom or hearing my dad or hearing even my grandma. I remember my grandma saying it. If you got nothing good to say, don't say anything at all. You know, I remember that. But there's some truth to this in how we communicate to others, what words we are serving up, that they build up, that they encourage, that they fill people's hearts, or as some call it, they fill my lovey cup, right? That's one thing I wanted to leave you with. The second thing I wanted to leave you with is two little stories that occurred that caught my attention, that I observed. Two little things I observed. In June, I had to drop my car off at the mechanics on Elgin Street, and I was walking from my mechanics down to the church office. And as I'm walking down Elgin Street, I'm walking by the mosque that's there on there, and along on their fence, They had this huge banner, big, huge banner on their fence. And it was thanking the frontline workers, thanking pharmacists, thanking lab technicians, thanking farmers, and just any of the essential workers. And then it concluded that, may Allah bless you and keep you safe during this time. And just something in my brain was like, there was a sensation of, that was nice. It's nice that they're communicating that to the public, the people driving up and down. That was one little incident that just it came to my attention. The other one was in July. April and I had gone on a week's vacation up to our trailer. We returned home, got the mail, going through the mail, and in the mail there was this little envelope, handwritten, addressed to me. So you pay attention when it's handwritten, you know, because you get a lot of junk mail, you know, it's just whatever, right? But this was like, what's that all about? So I opened it up. It wasn't a check. And in it was a little handwritten note. And I was like, well. And it goes, and I'm going to read it. Hello, my name is Sally. In light of current events, I am unable to visit you personally. Through his word, God provides hope and promises that soon he will wipe out all tears from our eyes and there will be no more death, suffering, crying, or pain. Revelation 21, 3 and 4. Soon, that hope of a better future here on earth will be realized. I invite you to visit our website, jw.org, where you can learn how the Bible's wisdom can help you and your family to get the best out of life and to gain a new hope for the future. I hope you and your family benefit from this information. Stay safe and well. Sincerely, Sally. Now, the JW aside, there was something about the fact that somebody, anybody, took the time to write me a note, address it to me, put a stamp on it, and send it. There was just something that was nice. Now here's the thing. Here's why I tell you these stories. That note, the thought that came to me right away was, if somebody who lives by themselves, who is isolated, who is lonely, or maybe they're hurting, or maybe they're just finding life so hard right now, they get that note, that's going to be very, very attractive to them. Very attractive. Because someone thought about them, right? And there's a natural tendency that we as human beings will gravitate to love. We'll gravitate to something that will fill us up, something that will encourage us. We need to realize that, guys, right? And I'm saying, we as the church have great news for this world. Even during this pandemic, we have great news for people. Great news. That there is a God who loves you passionately, right? And when I think of the church, I actually believe this. Of all the people in the world, of all the organizations in the world, we should be experts on love. on the science of love, on what, on the impact of love, of why love is so important, so vital, on God's, on the fact that love issues from God and this whole universe is created from that place, that we should be the experts. We should have centers of love to teach the world how this is the answer. We should be the experts because we know it. We know it. I want to leave you with one little passage from Paul's letter to the Colossians. Paul says this: live wisely among those who are not believers and make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be gracious and attractive so that you'll have the right response for everyone. That's in Colossians chapter 4. That's from Paul. My prayer for the church, my prayer for myself, is God, help me to get outside of my, like, help me to get out of my head. Help me to get out of this thought that I need to be loved or affirmed first before I can affirm, before I can love, before I can extend your love to other people. Help me to get out of that and to realize, Lord, that as I walk in you, infinite love comes from you. So I can dish out love and nourish others. I have that. I can do it. I can choose to do that. And that's my prayer for myself, because I know it's so hard sometimes to get out of my head. But I know we can do it. I know the church can. So let me just close in prayer right now. And you can join me in praying for the church, praying for yourself, praying for us, that we can be the light that we're called to be in this world, the light that's on the hill, that people go, oh, those are the people. You want to be loved? Go there. They will love you. They got something that we so need, so hungry for. So, Father, Lord, we just come before you right now. And, Lord, we just say, first of all, we're so thankful for the way you love us. Even when we don't love you back at times, Lord, you just continue to pour love on us. And you show no partiality to people. You just love on our world. So much so that you gave us Jesus. So that we could see what your heart is. That your heart is, your passion is for your world, for your creation. And we thank you for that. And Father, we pray for the church to be, as it walks in your light, as it walks in the whole power of the Holy Spirit, Lord, that love would issue from the church, would just flow, gushes of rivers, of oceans of love to the world. Because Father, Jesus, you do. We get why you told your disciples that you're the way, the truth, and the life. Because all life flows from you. It comes from you. Oh God, just help us, we pray. Shape us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.